Well, today we pause in our series based on John's letters to celebrate or to observe Father's Day. And before we go any further, let's include grandfathers as part of our celebration. After all, without grandfathers, there would be a serious scarcity of fathers. And so let's be inclusive this morning and include them as well. So you might ask, well, where did this tradition of a special day for fathers begin? Well, as with many things, history can be somewhat foggy and imprecise at times. For example, in the United States, there are two possible origins listed for Father's Day, and just in the interest of brevity this morning, we'll only talk a little bit about the most popular one. So the first one goes like this. The first Father's Day was celebrated in Washington State on June 19th, 1910. Interesting that today is June 19th. A woman by the name of Sonora Smart Dodd, obviously a smart lady, Sonora Smart Dodd, came up with the idea of honoring and celebrating her father while listening to a Mother's Day sermon in a church in 1909. She felt as though mothers were getting all the acclaim. How many fathers feel like that? You're getting over it now, right? It's just a few weeks ago. She felt that fathers were equally deserving of a day of praise, and she would probably be displeased that Mother's Day still holds the lion's share of attention. So, yeah, just get over it, okay, guys? Sonora's dad was quite a man. William Smart, a veteran of the Civil War, was left a widower when his wife died giving birth to their sixth child. He went on to raise the six children by himself on their small farm in Washington to show appreciation for all the hard work and love that William had given to her and her siblings. Sonora thought there should be a day to pay homage to him and other dads like him. Well, she initially suggested June 5th, the anniversary of her father's death, to be the designated day to celebrate Father's Day. But due to some bad planning, and it doesn't say what that was, the celebration in Spokane, Washington was deferred to the third Sunday in June. It would appear that that tradition would eventually spill over into Canada, and so we, like the U.S., have come to recognize this Sunday, the third Sunday in June, as a day to honor fatherhood, and I've added grandfatherhood. So you might ask, well, why bother to set aside a special day to honor fathers and grandfathers? Can we not just be thankful for them and appreciate them on an ongoing basis? Well, we certainly should do that, and I hope that you do. And I admit that when I was considering what to select for today's message, I was tempted to carry on with our journey through John and his letters. But as I thought a little bit more about it and prayed about it, I decided that it is both appropriate and important to pause for this week, this message on this Sunday, to honor and celebrate fathers and grandfathers. And we should do this. We should do this because fathers and fatherhood, grandfathers and grandfatherhood are important in so many ways. I would encourage you this morning to look at Psalm 127, verse 1. Psalm 127, verse 1 says this, "Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good." Now, the words, as you read them, might imply that the psalmist is really speaking about a physical house or an earthly residence. But I believe that he's really putting forth a principle here that can be applied to a variety of ways in everyday life. For example, if the Lord is not with us in our attempts to plant or to grow a church, we do, in fact, labor in vain. So I believe that this principle can be applied to a variety of houses, if you like, And the one I would like you to consider this morning would be the word household. I think then that we could say with the psalmist that unless the Lord builds a household, we are attempting parenting in this challenging age that might well be laboring in vain. The second key point for our consideration with respect to fatherhood is that husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, were and still are the key elements of God's plans for the building blocks of society. When we go right back to Genesis, we go right back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, and we see that God created a man and a woman as the first family unit, the first building block of society. Beginning in Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28, we read this. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. So we see here that God's plan to populate the earth, to grow a healthy and godly society, or healthy and godly households, was through what has become known as the traditional or nuclear family. I'm not sure how that word nuclear got into that description of the traditional family, but it's used quite universally, and so I'll continue to use it today. Now, there are countless examples throughout Scripture where individuals chose to move away from the God-ordained plan to a variety of other family configurations, often with disastrous results. Now, last week in our message from John's letters, we pointed out that there are really only two kingdoms, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And Satan, who heads up the kingdom of darkness, is a bitter enemy of God and wishes to destroy anything that God values. And so you can be sure that he will be doing everything in his power to prevent strong households being built in alignment with God's plans. And we certainly see lots of evidence of his handiwork in that. But before we go any further, I want to point out that bad stuff happens in life. People are free will agents. All of us make mistakes. Some of us, like myself, make lots of mistakes. Some of those mistakes are hurtful and harm people they once claimed to love in a variety of ways. So bad stuff happens, and sometimes the ideal traditional or nuclear family is shattered, but God is still able to come alongside of those who are determined to serve him in spite of the bad stuff. He's able to bring peace. He's able to bring restoration and healing to find themselves parenting in less than an ideal nuclear configuration. And many times, a single parent realistically is left with twice the load to carry. And we need to be sympathetic, we need to be understanding, and we need to be prayerful and supportive of everyone who is finding themselves on that difficult road. That's part of our job as the family of Christ. The family of God that we sang about earlier is to come alongside of those who are carrying an extra load, whether it be a physical burden, whether it be an emotional burden, whether it be a financial burden, whether it be a family relationship. That's part of our job, is to come alongside and support them. But let's think for a few moments why God's plan for a nuclear family, a family with a father, is important. So if you're here today as a father or a grandfather, consider how important your role and influence in the life of a child. Dr. David Papenso, professor of sociology at Rutgers University and co-director of the National Marriage Project, writes this in general about the importance of fathers. He writes, fathers are far more than just second adults in the home. Involved fathers, especially biological fathers, bring positive benefits to their children that no other person is as likely to bring. They provide protection and economic support and male role models. They have a parenting style that is significantly different from that of a mother, and that difference is important in healthy child development. Let's let's look a little bit more specifically at the importance of fatherhood or the lack of fatherhood that potentially can have in the life of a child. 82% of studies on father involvement and child well-being published since 1980 found significant associations between positive father involvement and offspring well-being. And so we hear from all of these people who study these things that fatherhood is important and fatherhood matters. Secondly, in an analysis of over 100 studies on parent-child relationships, it was found that having a loving and nurturing father was important for a child's happiness, for well-being, for social and academic success, as well as having a loving and maturing, nurturing mother. Some studies even indicated father love was a stronger contributor to important positive child well-being outcomes. Thirdly, according to child psychiatrist Kyle Pruitt, a father's more active play style and comparatively slower response to a toddler or infant experiencing frustration serve to promote problem-solving competencies and independence in the child. And fourthly, research from the University of Pennsylvania indicates that children who feel a closeness and warmth with their father are twice as likely to enter college, 75% less likely to have a child in their teen years, 80% less likely to be incarcerated, and half as likely to show various signs of depression. So fatherhood is important, and fatherhood matters. Fifthly, in a 26-year-long study, researchers found that the number one factor in developing empathy in children was father involvement. That one kind of surprised me. Developing empathy, which we would tend to think is far more predominant in the female part of the home. Fathers spending regular time alone with their children translated into children becoming compassionate adults. Sixthly, the U.S. Health and Services Department says that female-led homes with no spouse present an alarming rate of poverty. 47.6% in 2011, more than four times the rate of kids living in families where both parents are present. And we know that poverty impacts society. Poverty generally means less access to education. It often can lead to minor theft in children, and unfortunately, all too frequently, can lead to really serious stuff like gang membership. The bottom line is that children growing up without the influence of fathers have a much higher chance of having significant issues, which just undermines what I was saying earlier. We need to support those who are struggling with a missing partner. Now, if the lack of fatherhood influence in the raising of children has the potential for major problems for children and for society at large, one would hope that the incidence of that is quite small. But it's not. So how many fatherless homes are there? In Canada, StatsCan says that 12.8% of Canadian children live in fatherless homes. In the United Kingdom, 20% of children live in fatherless homes. In the U.S., 7 million dads are absent from the life of their children. And I just picked this up this morning, which I thought was really interesting, off the newswire. It says, there's little doubt that America is experiencing an unprecedented fatherless crisis. About 80% of single-parent homes are led by single moms, therefore leading to nearly 25% of our youth growing up without a father in the home. The staggering statistic has not only destroyed the nuclear family, but has devastated communities across the nation. For example, 85% of children and teens with behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes. And over 70% of all adolescent patients in drug and adult alcohol treatment centers originate from homes without fathers. Fatherless youth eventually become adults who, without the structure of a two-parent household, struggle to gain their footing in the world. So challenging statistics, again, that just emphasize the importance of us rallying around parents who are raising children on their own. If you follow the news at all, you probably realize that crime rates are up right across North America. Mass shootings in the U.S. seem to be happening on almost a weekly basis. Can it be that at least part of the problem is due to the decline in loving fatherhood? Drug use and the number of deaths from drug use among young people is alarming. In Canada, there was a total of 26,690 apparent opioid toxicity deaths between January 16 and September 21. Suicide rates among North American youth is a major problem. Is it any wonder the enemy loves to see the demise of the nuclear family? So what can be done about it? Proverbs 22:6 says this: direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. Words are important. Education is important. Christian education is important. Scripture-based teaching is important. Christian nuclear families will still face many challenges in this troubled world, but they will stand the best chance of denying our enemy the destruction of our children. So fathers, grandfathers, you need to be versed in the Word and to ensure that your children have excellent Christian-based training. But I think really that this is speaking about much more than words. Words of correction or words of direction. I think the most powerful agent of direction is the influence of a parent, followed closely by the influence of a grandparent. How you live, Dad, as a father or grandfather influences the direction your children will take. For example, if a child grows up in a home where father is present but not interested in matters of faith, not interested in studying the Word, or going to church, it's much more likely that his children will at some times drift away from the faith as well. Living for the Lord will encourage your kids to do so. And of course that applies to moms and dads equally. So fathers, grandfathers, moms, grandmothers, think about the way you live. Think about your commitment to the things of the Lord. Your words, your attitudes, your actions are influencing your children and your grandchildren. So what are some of the ways that you can influence positively? There are many, and here are just a couple. First of all, remember God's first building block, a husband and a wife. Strong, loving, godly marriages make for strong, loving, godly homes. Strong, loving, godly homes give children the best chance to become the next godly generation, the next building block of society with strong, loving homes. Writing about love, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, "For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church." This Greek word, ecclesia, translated as church in the New Testament, did not refer to a building or an organization. It referred to a gathering of people who had chosen to become followers of Jesus, people like us. Paul was reminding these believers like us, that Jesus loved us so much, loved those of us who have chosen to follow him, that he gave his life for us. And this is the kind of love required by the Christian husband for his wife. Paul goes on to say in verse 28, "Husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself." A loving husband then is the first step to a loving home, a critical step in godly fatherhood. Children and grandchildren, they observe the way you love your wife, dads. They observe the way you love your wife, granddads. So husbands, love your wives. Grandfathers, encourage and support your children in building and sustaining strong marriages. Church and family, come alongside those who are working through a single-parent relationship. So what can we do about the challenges of fatherhood? First of all, consider your influence. What your children see in the life of their father will influence their approach to life as well. A child who sees his father leave his mother behind to fend for herself and struggle with poverty will struggle with that in a big way. You know, Connie and I have become really somewhat close, I guess, to the nation of Haiti and what goes on there. And one of the things that you learned in Haiti very quickly is the rate of moms that are left on their own with dads that just abandon the family with no support whatsoever is one of the great tragedies of the nation. This weekend I was texting back and forth with a boy who was part of our Taitu family, and as he got older, into his late teens, he left and found himself in the Dominican with his mother being there trying to survive and trying to suggest ways that he could help his mom. And as the conversation went on, it just became sort of worse and worse. Like, my mother doesn't have any money, my sister doesn't have any money, my mother's mother is dying and she wants to get back to Haiti to see her mom before she dies. And in that conversation, not prompted by me, he just mentioned, he said, I don't have a father. Just one of the thousands of thousands of thousands of kids in Haiti that are going through a tragedy. It's important that fathers be providers. A child who sees a father determined to work and a mom determined to work hard to provide the wife, the family, with a decent standard of living will influence his children to do the same. I had a positive father example in my life of a father who was determined to work hard to provide for his family. Someone who was starved out of the West in the dirty 30s. Someone who knew what poverty was about. He was a hard worker from early morning farm chores, which began at 6, which in my mind was far too early for anything to begin. To the completion of farm chores around 8 o'clock in the evening, 6 days a week, some rest on Sunday. But his life painted a picture of hard work and a commitment of the biblical principle of providing for a family. Dad, my dad and people like him must have liked Proverbs 6:6. It says, take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones, learn from their ways and become wise. Dad's work ethic influenced my life. There's that word again, influence. Dads, granddads, you have a lifetime to influence your children and your grandchildren. There's no doubt that in their own way, they're watching. With our current levels of inflation, managing the family budget is more difficult than ever. I admire dads and moms who are determined to ensure that their family has adequate provision because it insulates the enemy's desire to use poverty to entrap children and moms alike. So fathers and grandfathers, invest wisely. This is kind of an interesting time with all that's going on in the world to say invest wisely. But there's one thing that you can invest wisely, and that's time. You know, it's a limited resource, and you only have so much. I think if I were to look back on my fatherhood years, and I'm obviously still a father, but years when I had much more influence probably than I do now, I think if I had to redo, I would probably focus more on investing more time in the life of our kids. I'm thankful to the Lord that they turned out well, much against, not because of anything I've done, but because of what the Lord has done in their lives and because of their willingness to serve Him. But have you thought about that? How can you invest a little bit more of your time in the lives of your kids and your grandkids? It's important that we think about that. Invest in them. Influence them for the kingdom. Fatherhood, folks, is important. It matters. And lastly, I would encourage you to enlist the help of the Lord. Your role as a father or a grandfather is important. Performing that role in our broken world is a difficult task. Enlist the help of the Lord. And perhaps I would also encourage you as fathers and grandfathers to think about, particularly those of us who are in a post-retirement age. Post-retirement? Been there, done that? You know, they keep telling us we have all of this time on our hands. You may not find that to be necessarily true. But when you think about investing, why not think about investing some time in those families that are struggling in the one-parent situation? Why not think about investing a little of your energy to help those that are struggling? You can be a father in much more ways than one. And you can be a grandfather in much more ways than one, or many more ways. I watch my language here. Letting my one-room school teacher down. Why not invest in the lives of those children that are coming up now, one way or another? Psalm 127:1 says, unless the Lord builds a household, the work of the builders is wasted. Would you ask Him to help you build a household? Would you ask Him to help you invest in the households that you see that need some help? May the Lord bless you as you do. Thank you, Lord.